Hey, this is Chip from Teacher Breath. As teachers, we know we've got the best job in the world, and most of what we do is for kids. This podcast, however, is not. This is more like hitting happy hour with your teacher friends at the end of the week. We take education seriously, but this is meant to be lighthearted and fun. So with that said, maybe grab a drink, take a breath, and enjoy. That for the benefit of APs everywhere that you would want to tell teachers, tell staff?
That is a great question. I think something I've learned being in different roles is maybe you don't know what everyone does or what they know or have experienced. Mm. So it may filter out like, oh, they're putting in this new policy of, you know, the classes are 5 minutes longer or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the reality is perhaps your principal and assistant principal fought to not have that, but someone above them made that, or something else was going to get cut if they didn't do it.
Right.
They're basically put a lot of times in really tricky situations where they take a lot of bullets for the team.
Yeah.
I think that's good for people to know. I think for administrators, it's making sure they go back to their roots. I mean, really, it's not just about empathy, like mm-hmm. making sure you're respecting each other.
Sure.
And I am a huge fan of being really transparent and confident, because I think of administrators, just like all leadership roles, if they're not, people start, you lose trust. Mm-hmm. I think culture is a huge piece of success in really all industries.
Yeah.
And if that is not in place, if it's not clear of the expectations, then things go awry and it can be really tricky.
Yeah. Did you ever have any issues with, so like you went from being a counselor, so part of like the larger staff, to being now in a leadership position. So do you have any issues with like the friendships that you had made and the relationships and everything?
A little bit. Yeah. I was super self-conscious about like happy hour.
Right.
So instead of staying for four drinks, I maybe stay for two.
Yeah.
And it took some time to kind of get used to it. If you hang out with a certain group of people, another group might think you're biased.
Right.
So that kind of weighed on me a bit. Cause I think one of the things that's part of me is like, I want everyone to like me.
Yeah.
And it's just not going to happen.
Right.
And
especially you.
Especially cause I'm unlikable.
Right.
But, that was a tricky piece. Yeah. Of like, how do you make sure everyone feels like they're getting enough Mr. Cooley time?
Yeah.
And, but also like there's people I enjoy spending time with,
right.
And I want to make sure that's an important part of my life. And I think I'm mature enough to balance hanging out and talking about The Simpsons with someone who likes that mm-hmm. or whatever. And also being, yeah, I'm still their boss.
Yeah.
I think that's okay. It's just, it is a little bit of some maneuvering there. And
yeah.
I think some people definitely choose to avoid it completely.
Which is understandable.
But the schools that I've worked at have been predominantly youngish staff or my age, mm-hmm. where it's like, yeah, it's social. It's nice to, I don't know, it's nice to get to know people too. I think that's, I love, like I mentioned before, I love hearing about people's journeys, and it would kind of be a bummer to just be like, all right, well, it's four, everyone's hanging out, and I, you know, I'm just going to stay in my office for 2 hours and do paperwork.
Right. Yeah, I've definitely been in those uber professional settings where, you know, I know you as a coworker and that's the extent of that. And that's all we'll ever do.
That was at Uber, you said?
yeah, that was at Uber. No, Lyft, I think.
Lyft. Nice. We are sponsored by Uber and Lyft.
Right. Yeah, and that is. It's just you're less excited to go in every day, I think. You know, like obviously you want to go in for your kids and all that, but when you've got decent relationships with the people that you work with and you want to see them and talk about, you know, whatever, the game last night or that last, you know, some episode of The Simpsons or a podcast you listen to, like that makes it a lot easier to go in.
Absolutely. And I'm referencing Simpsons seasons 1 through 7.
Right. Not all. I go to 9.
Not but.
All right. So as an administrator, you had a role in hiring.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Yeah. That's fun.
You must have good interview or demo lesson stories.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I learned how to interview from doing them. Like, mm-hmm. Like, you'd be like, oh man, this person is speaking in such generalities. There's no specifics about why they're a good teacher. Or so you're like, oh, I did that in my last interview. You know, like you kind of reflect. Yeah, the array of people, I think, sure. I mean, usually they're well-intentioned and they want to help kids and they're there for a reason. But it depends what time of year too. It's like you're in like desperation mode.
Yeah, right. You're
like, we really need a teacher. Let's bring this guy.
Sure.
So I had one guy who my colleague and I interviewed who he was late. He was wearing jeans and like a t-shirt. He was like, I don't, is this the right place? I'm like, okay. I kind of started off poorly. And then we're like, do you want to be a teacher? You know? And he's like, well, he drove a limo. That was his thing. He's like, yeah, I drive the limo. I just thought it'd be cool to teach too. And I have a degree. So, you know, I'm here. And we're like, all right, this interview is pretty much over as he continued to get worse and worse.
Yeah.
And then we're like, did you have any famous people? And you're like, it was kind of like, it was a bad date, but you're like, can you just tell me some cool stories?
Yeah, like.
And he was like, yeah, one time. We're like, this is a disaster. Yeah. And then I had this is an interesting one. I had someone who I observed who I looked at the resume. They had a PhD from Princeton. I think their undergrad was another Ivy League. I mean, the resume was like unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I think it was a science teacher. And so I observed him. And I think this is such a great like discussion about where you go to school doesn't matter. And what mm-hmm. does that mean you're going to be successful? And he kind of did a career shift. And so now he was trying to be a teacher. And he just struggled. Mm-hmm. He was yelling at the kids. They were running around. It was just a disaster.
Yeah.
And clearly he had a lot to work on, like a lot.
Yeah.
But from his resume to what actually happened was like a 180. And it kind of, I just think it's good to think about if you go to a certain quote unquote good school, does that mean you're going to be successful in what you do?
Right.
And I think teaching, it might be one of your questions, is like how much of it is content versus how much of it is your ability to connect with students and put that time in with them.
Right.
I kind of took a lot out of that. That was really interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. So then for people listening that are, you know, about to go into another round of looking for jobs, what's something that you think they should focus on? Like what's something that you would be looking for in an interview or in a demo lesson?
Get there early.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the stuff that maybe it's a generational thing. I don't know, but get there early.
Yeah.
Dress professionally.
Right. Seems basic.
Two really basic things that a lot of times is forgotten.
Yeah.
As I mentioned in my story earlier.
Yeah.
On the interview, I would say just be really specific with stories. Like, why'd you become an educator? Like, tell the story how you helped your little cousin or what. Like, people want to hear that stuff. And even on your resume, like I remember hiring someone who on the bottom, they had experience in improv comedy.
Yeah.
And of course, and the resume was great and he was a wonderful guy, but it kind of broke the ice. It was like, oh, you do improv. And then he did like an Obama impression and it was cute. And the rest of the stuff was there, but it certainly helped.
Right.
So I think it's good to know that you're a person, that you have interests.
Well, that's also a smart thing to throw on an educator's resume. If you've got a background in improv, like so much of what you're going to be doing is improv.
That's absolutely. Yeah. So I think those pieces. And then I think demo lessons, like practice, like time it out. Have like three backup plans in case the smart board's not working.
Right.
Which is super stressful. It should ideally, but in case technology is not there, have your handouts. Like over-prepare.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
you're trying to get a job. Like if you have to bring 50 colored pencils.
Yeah.
Cares, like bring them, like if you don't use them you don't use them, you can doodle at home or something, but I think being over prepared is good. And then you practice. I mean, I think practice with your friends or family, and like it should be, you'll be nervous, but it should be kind of fun. Like you're doing your thing.
Yeah,
if you love what you're doing, and that comes through if you're passionate, even if you screw up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like administrators or leadership will see that.
Yeah. The education program that I was in had this awesome night where they brought in a bunch of administrators from the area and had just rounds of mock interviews so that you could just get that practice. By the end, you would have done like 10 interviews.
Yeah.
It was really beneficial, like helped a lot. And then you'd have whatever it was, like 5 minutes of an interview or 10 minutes of an interview and then 5 minutes of a debrief or something like that.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really helpful.
And I think it's thinking of like younger people just out of college. It's like, well, I don't have those experiences. Like, then reference something from camp. Mm-hmm. Like, talk about something in your life that you think is relevant, but make it specific and it's kind of like it's like writing a college essay. Like, it doesn't have to be this profound how you climbed Mount Everest or saved the world. It can be like how you helped your dad fix his car and like what that meant to you.
Yeah, sure.
And like, those are the special things that stay with people versus, oh yeah, I work hard. I'm a nice person.
Yeah, right.
Like, be specific.
Yeah. And that's a good way to, you know, make yourself stand out a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's funny. On my resume, because I worked in TV and movies, mm-hmm. I've had interviews that were pretty like formal. And they'd be like, you work in The Price is Right? They're like, did you bid $1? I'm like, no. Like let's right. let's come back to. Yeah. But like, that's, they remembered me as the Price is Right guy.
That's funny. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And
I got the job.
Honestly, yeah. If you can, like, that's it. If you can make yourself stand out in that way.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying like, don't,
or at least memorable.
Don't go crazy. Like, if you were on Double Dare or something, like,
let us know.
Yeah, that's an automatic in.
Yeah.
If I'm hiring and you weren't, if you're on Double Dare, I'm hiring. Come, right. Come see me.
I made it up the aggro crag. Hey guys, I just want to take a second to thank those of you that have taken the time to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to follow us over on Instagram at Teacher Breath Pod. And as always, thanks to everyone for listening.
I do feel like a lot of the educators I've worked with have been, or really colleagues in all industries, have been younger. A lot of 24, 25 year olds. Mm. And I reflect back, like when they do something wrong or I don't get it, mm-hmm. I look back to when I was 24, 25, right. Like I was a disaster. Like I was a good guy, but like I had no work ethic. Right. All I did was play pickup basketball. And I just feel like I sometimes have to remember that, like, oh, they're still kind of learning the ropes too. And it can be annoying. And yeah, I get right. it. I think the etiquette stuff is harder to be like, don't you know that you should be on time? Things yeah, like that.
Right.
But I think a lot of the people I've worked with that are that age, I'm very impressed.
Yeah, sure.
So before we kind of lump it all into one kind of stereotype, which is more fun to do.
It is. But yeah, but yeah, no, definitely most of the people, I'm often shocked when people tell me their age and, you know, they're 24 and I'm like, oh, like you've got it pretty much together at 24.
Yeah.
Like you said, I was crashing on friends' couches and stuff.
I know. One thing I've tried not to say is when I was your age.
Yeah, like, right.
That means you're old.
Yeah, exactly.
God damn it.
So, of those positions that you've held in a school, which do you think was the most taxing on you?
Oh, taxing. Assistant principal was the most taxing.
Yeah.
I think part of it was, I was doing a lot of discipline, which was not something I was too keen on.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was in a way too where I felt like it had to be very instantaneous. You couldn't talk to a student and kind of I like talking about feelings, like try to break it down. What's the root of this? And it was kind of like, no, like you got to take care of business.
Yeah. And get back to class and whatever else.
It just wasn't I wasn't great at that, and it definitely wore me down. I remember talking to someone who's really good at it, and they're like, you kind of take on this role, like you're almost like in a like WWE, and you got to bring the kind of intensity. And I'm just like, that's really hard for me to pretend for that long,
right?
Trying to flex, like I grew a beard to look tougher, you know, like whatever I had to do,
right?
I'm manageable, I'm adaptable, but that was taxing is a great word,
yeah.
I thought you were going to ask me my favorite position, which was definitely, I loved being a college counselor, helping the kids apply to college was amazing. And I enjoyed that probably the most, probably because I like storytelling, you know, it was reflective and more my wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that leads us into kind of what you do now. So you're out of the school.
I'm out of the school for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
I joke, I lived at like 48 minutes at a time by the bell, you know, and now, now there's no bell.
Yeah.
And it's weird.
Yeah. So before we talk about what it is that you do, what's the nicest thing about not being in a school anymore? and what's like something that you miss?
Oh, it's such a good question. And while you're in it, just like anything, that's all you know.
Yeah.
And then you take a step back. I think the stakes are really high in education. You're working with students and families. And as you're kind of more in leadership too, it's you're sort of working 24/7. So if a student is missing or something's going on, like it doesn't matter what time it is or what day of the week, like you're on. And so when you're out of that, it's a lot less, at least where I'm at, is a lot less structured. The movie metaphor, which I'll make, which a lot of you have probably seen Shawshank Redemption, is that Morgan Freeman is working at the supermarket and he raises his hand and says, "Hey, bathroom break, boss."
Yeah.
He's like, "You don't have to ask me, just go." And he's like, "My whole life, it was always I had to ask." That's how I felt about school.
Right, right. Yeah.
I always had to ask if I could do something. And now it's like, I don't care. Just get your, hit the bottom line. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, right, right.
And that is so surreal to me. Yeah. And it's taken me a while to get used to that.
Right.
It's very freeing. Mm-hmm. But it's also unstructured, so you have to be a lot more disciplined.
Sure. Yeah, that's that could be difficult for some people.
Yeah. You know? No, it's difficult for me. It's sort of a skill that you have to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is it that you do now? Where are you working?
Yeah, so to summarize, I work for this education company, and we do a lot of things, but one of them is study abroad programs. Mm-hmm. So we actually do work with middle school and high school across the country, but I work in the college field, so I actually visit professors, mostly in the Northeast, but really around the country. And to put it as I did in career day when I went back to my old school, is I plan really cool field trips.
There you go.
So if your art history professor wants to take you to the Louvre in Paris, we help put all logistics together so you can take an 8-day program to Paris, and we take care of the flights, the hotels, transportation, tour directors, all that. And so my job is to technically sell these programs, but really form like partnerships and connections to professors and administrators and make sure they understand how we can help them and why it would be important. Hmm. And so it aligns a lot with, I was sort of the, for a long time, a field trip guy at my schools. I would take my students to like Washington, D.C. and those kinds of programs, which I found to be kind of life-changing because a lot of these students had never left their hometown before.
Yeah.
And so I'm a huge fan of experiential learning, and now I'm sort of just preaching that to whoever will listen, and I have all these resources behind me.
Right on.
So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And part of it for you is you're actually like doing dry runs of these programs, right? So you do a lot of like traveling.
So I occasionally get to shadow the programs.
Okay.
Which is a huge benefit. Like if you're in a school, you're probably not, maybe in the summer you'll travel, but you're not getting paid to go to Europe. So this past May I went to London, Paris, Florence, and Rome with a group of college students from California and a few of their professors. And you know, actually, I mean, it was amazing and also made it a lot easier for me to meet with people later on and explain what we really do on the programs, right, and how it works. So really cool benefit to that company is getting a chance to travel and, you know, not being, I think a big, when I interviewed there, they asked me why I wanted to leave a school. And the metaphor I came up with was, and I like to do sort of strange metaphors, but I said, I like going to a party. Let's say it's at a restaurant or bar. But I felt like I was in a booth and I was in the middle. Mm-hmm. And like I was socializing, but I couldn't move. I was kind of stuck where I was. And I'm the type of guy that likes to walk around and say hi to everyone. Mm-hmm. And I feel like my new company is more like that, where right, literally I could travel into the entire country or the world, really. And at a school, there were walls, figuratively and literally,
right,
that made me feel like I was in the middle of the booth.
There you go. Wow. Yeah.
See, another good interview tip. If you want to steal that.
Yeah. Go ahead and use that metaphor. Right on. That's cool. So is that something that an educator could do? A big thing I feel like when I look on teaching subreddits and things like that, people love to share different jobs that teachers that are done teaching can get into. Because obviously it's kind of the degree that you have to get is strictly education, you know,
like right,
you can't really do too much else with it. So, people like to share resources, like here's something you could potentially do if you're trying to get out of the classroom and stuff like that. Is this one of those things? Is it something like a former teacher could do if they were looking for something?
I mean, I think so. I think the company I'm at is starting to realize, oh, we should probably get a little bit more educators in here
because
okay, we're speaking to educators as opposed to just like straight salespeople. but it kind of depends what your skill set is. Mm-hmm. What were some of the things you saw on there? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I've seen people. There are things that are like consultants, yeah. You know, so it's a lot of consulting. And then I've seen people suggest school libraries or like children's librarian positions, but those require other degrees, but some, you know. So there's things like that, but
yeah,
this is an interesting one because it's sort of in a little bit more of a corporate type setting, right? Like some kind of a business world type thing. Like yeah, no,
it's
sales.
It's a business world, and you can talk about feelings or structures or that. In the end, you need to sort of hit a bottom line because there's investments or money kind of moving through.
Right.
So, I'll ask my team and be like, can I do A, B, and C? And they're like, do whatever you want if it's going to help us.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, are you sure about that?
if you hit like, these benchmarks or whatever.
Yeah, so there's a lot of freedom in that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I sort of fell into it just through a friend of a friend, but I kind of had my ideas of like what my next job would look like. Mm-hmm. If it was going to be outside the classroom, I wanted to still be education-based.
Yeah.
I wanted to involve some travel. I wanted to get to meet people that were kind of passionate about the things I were was passionate. And I wanted to be in a culture too where I actually feel really appreciated where I'm at, almost to the point where it feels culty. They're like, always smiling, saying thank you and good job. And I'm like, am I a Scientologist now? Or are you stealing money? At this point, I don't care because I feel good.
So however much it's costing.
Yeah, so that's a big change too. And not that people aren't nice in schools. It's just, it's like working in the ER. You know, it's just a constant movement. There's so much going on that you don't necessarily have time to be like, give a big smile and say, I really appreciate you.
Right.
Thanks, Chip.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
You're welcome. Don't you have somewhere to be?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give 3 minutes to class.
Right. That's an interesting, another interesting analogy that it's kind of like being in an ER just because the pieces are always moving. They have to be moving. You know, you've got till end of the day. And things don't carry over to the next day very often. You know, like we can, at least the way that my schedule is, like I can't really afford to be like, I'll finish this lesson tomorrow. You know, like we can wrap this one up tomorrow. Like to an extent, maybe with like a small group or something, but you've got these daily deadlines that you have to hit. So everybody, it's like a newsroom.
Like, well, I think of like jury duty, right? What jobs can you be in where if you were at jury duty for a few weeks, like things would be okay.
Right, right.
And like where I'm at now, I think I would be fine. Like I would have to catch up on a lot of the stuff, but I'd manage.
Sure.
I just think if you work at a school, like you can't do jury duty.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you're, if you miss 2 weeks of being a math teacher,
yeah,
like it could end everything.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so it's like, I feel like they should make a chart of like which jobs could, you know, some people are like jury duty, great. Like, I don't want to go into this boring office for 3 weeks,
right,
you know?
Right.
But, teachers or educators, like you, if you miss that much time, like it could be a big dent.
Yeah. Do you see yourself ever going back to a school environment?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know for sure, but it's something I would be very open to if it was sort of the right fit and position. And, I not working in schools, I miss the students. I miss the working with the faculty. And kind of just having a mission that you, and you're doing something kind of real and direct every day. Mm-hmm. I think what I'm doing now is special and it's important, but I'm not necessarily directly impacting, maybe indirectly having impact on them.
Right. All right. So I guess we can wrap it up there. Thanks so much for coming out and being on the show.
Thanks, Chip. This was a blast. top 10 moments of my life.
All right. Best of the year anyway. All right. Great. Well, thanks for listening and take it easy.
All right. Have a good one, everyone.
We're shaking hands now.
Happy holidays.
Thanks so much for listening. If you like the show, then please feel free to hit subscribe and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you might be listening. If you'd like to contact us with any questions or thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at teacherbreathpod@gmail.com, and with your blessing, we might even read your comments on the show. Alternatively, you can leave us an actual voice message by following the link at the bottom of the show notes for this very episode. You can see us in action by following us on Instagram @TeacherBreathPod, spelt just like it sounds. If you know someone that you think might like the show, then tell them about us and help spread the word. Thanks to those of you who already subscribed. We've got some exciting things coming up, so be sure to look for new episodes every 2 weeks, wherever you listen to podcasts. And until then, don't forget to breathe.